Look at the house.
Okay, we ready? This year should be Leilu Nishmat Hananya ben Iza. Tien Nishmato Tzora B'Tzora Chaim Began Eden Tien Menuchato. Okay. So if I were to ask you how many Berachot are there in what we call the Amidah? How many? 19. But the Ashkenazim, we're going to ask him, what is the prayer called?
Shmona Esrei.
Right? It's called 18. But yet we have 19 berachot. How does that work? Oh. So we all know, there seems to be a beracha that was added later. Which beracha is that? Laminim v'lamal shanim. Now, why was it added? Who added it?
Because the korban.
Okay, so that's what we're going to try to figure out and learn today. So, I brought you in the beginning. Today, there's two main versions, a couple more, but that is still said today, but two main versions that are said, one amongst the Sfaradim, one amongst the Ashkenazim. There's really three, because Nusach Svarad is very similar to ours, one more different. But basically, two versions. Nusach Edut HaMizrach, right? Sephardic Jews and Nusach Ashkenaz. The Temanim is different. We'll get to Temanim in a second. They're always their own religion. Temanim is on the list, Benny. I put Temanim here. Efo Benny. Bechutz Lamachane, Benny. Yes, makom po al yadi. So, let's read the Ashkenaz version for a second. Yeah? The second one. The second version we have in today. Let's read it together. Vela malshinim. Who's a malshin? What's a malshin? Malshin a person is, what do you call him in Hebrew? A stinker. Right? A stinker. A person who rats out other people. So la malshinim, those who rat on other people. Al tihi tikva. They shouldn't have any hope, meaning no continuation. No future. Yeah. V'chol harish'ah, and all evil, kerega toved, immediately should be destroyed, should be lost, should disappear. V'chol oyevei amecha, and all the enemies of your nation, mehera ikaretu, quickly should be cut down. So we're saying all the stinkers, all evil, and all of our enemies should be cut down. V'hazedim, who was Zedim are, can be anything or anybody, it's very unclear who Zedim are.
Mezid.
It's somebody that
does
wrong.
Does wrong on purpose.
On purpose.
Right, 100%. Yeah. Who is that? It's hard to tell. Mehera, right away, ta'aker, should be uprooted, teshaber, utmager, v'tachnia, right? Should be broken, should be uprooted, should be, achna'a means it should be the, Tachnia means to lower down or subjugate, right? Yeah. B'mehera b'yameinu baruch atah Hashem, bless are you Hashem shoved oyevim, who breaks our enemies, who machnia zedim and conquers those who do on purpose. A very generic beracha. Ours is very similar. I'm not going to get into the details of the differences. One main difference we have, we start with laminim, v'lo malshinim. So it's not just stinkers, but we have also minim. What's a min?
Kinds.
Okay. What's a min?
Heretics.
Huh?
Heretics.
Minim. Minim. Now, I will tell you there's probably 100 versions of this beracha. And the question is why? And I guarantee you the beracha we say today was not the beracha that was established when they established the beracha. We're not saying... Huh?
Every generation has its own
reshaim. Oh, we'll see. But it's not the same beracha, not even close to what the beracha was. So we've got to figure out why the beracha was established, who established it, at what point in history was established, and what happened that we have 100 versions of this same beracha. So let's begin. Yeah? So the Rambam gives us a little background. So let's learn the Rambam together. Number four on the page. You see Rambam, Ilchot Tefillah, Benisiat Kapayim, Perek Bet. The Rambam says like this. Bimei Rabban Gamliel, in the name, the days of Rabban Gamliel. Now, if you learnt with me 2 weeks ago on Thursday night and you were here for Pirkei Avot, you'll know there were three Rabban Gamliels in history. Mm-hmm. There was Rabban Gamliel HaZaken, the elder, who died in the year 50, the year 50 of the Common Era, 50, which is 20 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. He was the Nasi, he was the leader of the Jews. That's Rabban Gamliel HaZaken. His grandson, Rabban Gamliel of Yavne, took over after the Khurban around the year 90 or so, which is 20 years after the Khurban. And then Rabban Gamliel, his grandson, right? He was the son of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and he took over the Nasiut around the year 200. So this is, so we have to figure out which Rabban Gamliel the Rambam is referring to. But Rambam says, right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We'll see. We'll get. We discussed that 2 weeks ago. We'll see. We met Rabban Gamliel. So we have to figure out which Rabban Gamliel it was. But in the days of Rabban Gamliel, Rabbu Haminim beYisrael. There were many Minim. Minim are heretics beYisrael. The Hayu Matzidin leYisrael. And they were causing pain to the Jewish people. Umasitim otam lashuv ma'achore Hashem. And they would instigate them to leave the fold, leave Torat Hashem. וכמה שראה שזו גדולה מכל צער יכול להיות בני אדם. רבן גמליאל noticed, this is a greater need than any other need. Realize, עמידה, תפילה. We have three requests. The three, first three ברכות of the עמידה is what? Is שבח, is praise. We're standing before our Creator. We have to know who we're praying to. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The last three ברכות are all, what? Toda. Giving thank you. Last three ברכות is modim. We say thank you. The middle 13 requests are what? Are all personal requests. Torche ben Adam. Give me wisdom. Give me wealth. Give me health. Right? They're all Torche ben Adam. Refa'enu, Barechenu. They're all our personal requests. So, Kevan shera'a shezo gedula mikol Torche ben Adam. He saw that this is greater than any need we ask for from God every single day. Amad hu bedino, him and his bedin garab, vidkin beracha achat. He established one beracha. Shetiyeh ba she'ela melifnei Hashem. There should be a request from God. La'abed ha-minim. To destroy all these minim who are causing us tzarot and pain and leading us astray. Ve'kara otah b'tfilah. And he established it as part of the Amidah, part of the tfilah that we say every day, three times a day. Shetiyeh arucha b'fi akol. And it should be known and prepared and set before everybody. And now we find how many berachot we have at the end? 19. This is the Rambam's introduction. So a little bit of background. Why did we need this beracha? Because he saw this greed greater than any other torech, any other request that we asked during Amidah. And these minim were harming the Jewish people and we needed to make sure they get destroyed. The question is, who were these minim? Who are they? Were they Jews? Were they non-Jews? Who are we talking about? So let's learn. Let's learn the Gemara Berachot. So let's go to the next source over here. This is the source of the Rambam's halacha. Yeah? Toda. So everybody with me? Okay. You're looking inside, you have source sheets? What happened to all the source sheets? Somebody has a pile. Yeah. That's why nobody's following me. How about this, Yaakov? You have a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to keep them here.
Just spread them out. Maybe you have to share a little bit if need be. Okay. Everybody have? Okay. So Gemara Berachot. Gemara Berachot in Daf Kaf Chet Amud Bet. Reuven's checking my translation is good. He's going to correct me. Okay. Tan Rabbanan.
Oh.
Yeah. Shimon HaPekoli. Shimon HaPekoli. Who's Shimon HaPekoli? Pekoli means a cotton merchant. Right? He was a cotton merchant. He sold cotton for a living. He was a great Tanaic sage. He was a Tana. His dir yudchet berachot ifne Rabban Gamliel. His dir, his dir yudchet berachot ifne Rabban Gamliel. Which means he organized the 18 berachot of the Amidah in front of Rabban Gamliel. Al haseder, in order, beYavne. In where? What city were they in? In Yavne. So we have a clue. So now we know where, what time, when we're talking about Yavne. Amar lahem Rabban Gamliel, lachachamim. Rabban Gamliel turns to the chachamim and says to them, Klum yesh adam shiyodah letaken birchat atzdokim. So Shimon HaPekoli sat in front of Ben Gamliel and he organized the berachot of the Amidah. Put them in an order. Amar Ben Gamliel Chachamim. Ben Gamliel turns to the sages, the Chachamim. Klum yesh adam shiyodah letaken birchat hatzedukim. Is there nobody here that can establish and make the beracha of the tzedukim? Amad Shmuel HaKatan. Shmuel HaKatan, we'll see who he was. One of the greatest Tanaim, he gets up and says, he got up v'tikna. He went and he established and he wrote the Birchat Haminim. This is the Gemara. What's fascinating, we're not going to get to the next part, the Shana Chedet Shakha. The following year, Shmuel HaKatan himself forgot it. But that's a different sugya. But who established, who wrote Birchat Haminim? Shmuel HaKatan, a friend of Rabban Gamliel and his Bedin in Yavne. So who was Rabban Gamliel? It was Rabban Gamliel of Yavne, the second Rabban Gamliel.
Yeah.
So he lived between, he was Nasi between the year 90 till about the year 117. The year 117. Yeah? So just to put in perspective, the destruction of Beit HaMikdash happened in year 70. Right? Year 70 is the destruction of Beit HaMikdash. Bar Kokhba revolt, where Bar Kokhba rebelled and tried to reconquer Israel, and he conquered many parts of land over 3 years, but ultimately he was killed in Modi'in, and just about all the Jews there, close to half a million Jews were killed, and another million were sent into slavery. And that happened in the year 135. So this is before Bar Kokhba, but still, so in this period between the Khurban and Bar Kokhba, the Jews in Eretz Israel, and Rabban Gamliel of Yavne moves the Sanhedrin after the Churban to Yavne, and the Jews are basically established in Yavne and its surrounding areas, and that's where the seat of the Jewish people is. Right? Where's Yavne today? It's on the coast, next to Ashdod, no? A little north of Ashdod. On the coast of Israel. Oh, so you're telling me who the meaning? Birkat HaTzedokim. So Dr. Yamash is making an inference. It seems to be who? Birkat HaTzedokim. But we'll see if that's so simple. We'll see if that's so simple. It seems to be saying Birkat HaTzedokim. So question one is...
They are the establisher?
No. It seems that Baracha against the Tzedokim.
Yeah.
Right? So good diuk. Right? We'll get back to that. Yeah. Sefirat HaOmer. Let's stop for a second. Let's count Sefira. We couldn't count before. It was too early. Yesterday was 26. Bishud Marabba Rabotai. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kiddeshanu B'mitzvotav Etzivanu Ad Sefirat HaOmer. Hayom Shiv'a Ve'esrim Yom LaOmer Shehem Shelosha Shavuot ושישה ימים, הרחמן, הוא יחזירנו עבודת בית המקדש במקומה, ובמהרה בימינו, אמן. Okay, vámonos. Let's get focused. But ask me a question. Who organized the order of the Berachot? What does it say here? What was his name? No. Shimon. Who organized the order of the Berachot of the Amidah? Shimon HaPekoli. Now, didn't Anshe Knesset HaGdola establish our prayers? Who were the Anshe Knesset HaGdola? Huh? Who were the Anshe? Who established our tefillot? Where do our prayers come from?
Sanhedrin.
Which time period?
Yudan
Asi, no? Well, is the year 200. Anshe Knesset HaGdola was before the building of the second Beit HaMikdash. During the Churban, between the Churban Bayit Rishon and Bayit Sheni, Nevi'im, there were prophets still. We're going back 500 years before. Right? 450 years before. The tefillot were already established by the Anshe Knesset HaGdola. So, what is Shimon HaKippoli doing? So in reality, it's not my question. Only, the Gemara in Masechet Megillah asked the question. Look at the next source for a second. Amar b'Yochanan, v'amila b'matnita tana. We have a Mishnah that says, Me'a ve'esrim zekanim. There were 120 elders. U'bahem kama nevi'im. And amongst them were what? Many prophets, nevi'im. Tiknu shmona esre berachot ala seder. They established was the 18 berachot ala seder. So who was it? 120 zekanim, amongst them nevi'im. This is the Anshe Knesset HaGdola. If you learn the first Mishnah in Avot, what does it say? Moshe kibel Torah misinai. Masra le Yehoshua. Yehoshua to the zekanim. Zekanim to the nevi'im. Nevi'im besarua le Anshe Knesset HaGdola. They're the next chain in transmission, which is 500 years before this. We've been praying for 500 years already. Where does Shimon HaKippoli wake up one morning and say, hey, here's the seder? Look at the Gemara says. V'chi me'achar de'me'a ve'eslim zekarim u'mehem kama nevi'im tiknu tefillah la'seder. Shimon HaPekoli ma yizdir. Since we have the Anshe Knesset already did it. What did Shimon HaPekoli do? Shachachum ve'chazdu ve'sadrum. We had the blessings. We forgot the order. We had lost the transmission. After the Churban and Jews being moved here, we had forgotten the order. After Shmuel HaKippoli, that was his job. He researched, he searched, he discussed with all the rabbis, he called together all the information together, and he rediscovered the order. So he went in front of Bagamayim Bedin and he testified, this is the order. And Bedin accepted, and that was the new order that was reestablished by Shmuel HaKippoli. Why we have to make sure we have the order right? Because we're inserting a new beracha, we have to make sure that everything is perfect. So now we're establishing a new beracha. Now we have to make sure the order is proper. We have to figure out where we're putting this beracha. Where in Amidah are we going to put it? Because there's a specific seder to the berachot. If you go to the Gemara Megillah, and I don't want to take you there because we're going to take us completely off tangent. The Gemara goes and describes you why each beracha is where it is. Everything is a specific order. The Gemara gives five different reasons why 18 berachot. Keneged ma. So if we have time, maybe we'll learn this Gemara a little bit. To understand, right? But so far, so good? Yeah? Okay. So now our job is to understand against who was this Baruch Hashem established? Who are our enemies? So, there's one interesting halakha that was established by the Minim. And this halakha gives us a window to understanding who the enemies were. Midrash Tanchuma, look at the next source. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Three from the bottom. Third from the bottom. You have it? It's a Midrash. Yamelenu Rabbeinu, teach us our master. Ha'oveh lifnei ha'teva. Somebody who passes to the bimah to be chazan, right? Like Simon did Arbit here. But this time it happened to be Arbit because there's chazat hashatz, so he's repeating the Amidah. Ha'oveh lifnei ha'teva v'ta'a v'lo yizkir b'rchat ha'minim. He made a mistake and he forgot to mention b'rchat ha'minim. He skipped it. Or he made a mistake in b'rchat ha'minim. Minayin shemachzerim oto. What's the law? Do we make him go back or not? Person makes a mistake in b'rchat ha'minim. So the Braita says, kach shanu rabotenu. This is how we learned. Ha'over lifnei ha'teva v'ta'a. A person who comes to be chazan and he makes a mistake on this beracha. Bechol ha'berachot kulan in machzerin oto. And all the other barachot of the Amidah, you messed up, ata kadosh, okay, ata cholin on that, nunu, right? Ta'a b'brichat ha'minim, but if you made a mistake in b'brichat ha'minim, machzirin oto. Ve'omra ba'al korcho. We make him go back and we force him to say it against his will.
Ulay hu batzmo min.
Mipnei ma machzirin oto. So why this one we make him go back?
That's the reason.
Chayshina shem amin hu. Maybe he's a mean. Shine bo tzad minut. Because if he has any tzad minut, kilel atzmo. What's happening? He's cursing himself. Why did he skip it? He didn't want to curse himself. And this way we force him to say it, to curse himself. Amen. Right? Everybody says amen to his kilala that he just cursed himself. Right? Oh. But so far, we discovered one thing. Who is a mean?
Among
they
us.
Weren't Romans, they were Jews. They were Jews. Right? They weren't Bet Knesset. Right? They were Jews in the synagogue. They were Jews in the shul, right? Not Stam Jews. Jews who prayed with us. Ashkenazim bebet Knesset, Ken. Oh, so I want to read you a depressing Yerushalmi in the back of the page. This is a Gemara Masechet Yerushalmi. Yeah. So I didn't want to tell you this now. No, not this one. Where is it? I'm sorry. Second from the top. Thank you. Second from the top, not the last one. Second from the top. Talmud Yerushalmi, second from the top. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo galu Yisrael. The Jews were not exiled, and Beit Hamikdash was not destroyed. Ad shenasru 24 kitot shel minim, until we became 24 different groups of minim. Which means, besides mainstream Judaism, which was the cut, obviously, of the group of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin, and Rabban Gamliel, and the leaders, they were known as the Perushim, right? They were known, right? There were 24 other groups who were Minim. Matama, and how do I know? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu told Yechezkel HaNavi, Ben Adam, Sholeach Ani Otcha El Bnei Yisrael, I'm sending it to the Jewish people. El Goyim, Hamoradim asher mardubi, to the nations in plural, who rebelled against me. El goy hamored en ketivkan, the nation that's rebelling, it doesn't say. El goyim hamordim asher mardubi, the nations in plural, to show you there were many different groups of Jews. We weren't a goy, we weren't a nation, we were splintered into 25 different parts, and there were 24 groups of minim. 24, you think we have a bad, I don't think, how many parties are in the Israeli government? How many do we have? 7, 8, 9?
We have one bad one.
But how many parties, right? So, you know, we're not up to 24 yet. We're not up to 24 yet. So many of them, just to give you the names that you're familiar, who are these minim? We have the Tzedokim. We have the Baitosim. We have the Shomronim. We have the Kat Midbar, the Qumran, right? the Kat Midbar. Their teachers of the Kat Qumran were known as Essenes. We have the Karaites, Kedaim. Right? These are names that we still remember. But there were many more. Each one with their own belief systems. But that can't be who we're referring to. Why can't it be that's who we're referring to? Birkat Aminim. Because they didn't pray in our Bet Knesset. Each one established their own Bet Knesset. They established their own thing, right? The Shomronim and the Beit Yosidokim didn't believe in Torah Shebal Peh whatsoever. So I don't even know if they prayed. Right? The Kat Midbar prayed only twice a day, sunrise and sunset. And they were kind of known as sun worshippers. The Mara says, don't be like them. Right? You had all these different kitot. And believe me, they didn't pray in our synagogue. Each group made their own way of worship. We had 24 of the Shomronim were in Hagerizim, and the Karaites were somewhere else, and the Tzadokim and the Beit Tosim. Right? So, recognize, we established the Beracha for who? For the guy in the synagogue, who we were afraid is a mean. Who is that? So here it's clear, and there's a consensus, but the way we know this is obviously from tradition, but these were students of Yeshua. Yeshua dies, Yeshua, Jesus, right? Yeshua and Otzri, he dies in the year 33. Year 33. Beit HaMikdash is destroyed in the year 70. Around the year 30, Yeshua dies. Year 70, Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. His famous student's name was who? The first one was Paul. Paul was really Shaul. Shaul. Shaul was a student of Rabban Gamliel. And he has interactions with Rabban Gamliel. We know that. It's brought down that Rabban Gamliel's student was Shaul, who went out. And that was Paul. Which Rabban Gamliel is it? So, we're not sure. It would seem to be the first, because Paul was a student of Yeshua. Yeshua died in the year 30. Obviously, he saw Yeshua. But Paul lived a very long life. So he spanned both periods of Rabban Gamliel the first and Rabban Gamliel the second.
Again, when did he die the first?
Rabban Gamliel the first died in the year 50. And Rabban Gamliel the second died approximately the year, Rabban Gamliel the second became Nasi around the year 80, around the year 90. Right? Rabban Gamliel of Yavne. Right? So Paul met both of them. The odds are he was student of Rabban Gamliel Zaken. But he also had dealings with possibly Rabban Gamliel II. But clearly Rabban Gamliel Zaken. That was Paul. So we had Christians, Jews, who were followers of Yeshua. And even amongst followers of Yeshua, realize, these might have been people who were Shomer Torah Mitzvot. They did Brit Milah, and they were Shomer Shabbat. But they believed in Yeshua. They believed that he was Mashiach. That was the most mainstream group. But then we had groups that believed Yeshua was from a virgin mother. And they weren't keeping most of the mitzvot. We had four different groups, actually. The academics split into four different groups of Yeshua followers. Those who were Shomer Torah mitzvot, to the group who was completely already gone off the deep end. But they were still praying in our Beit HaKnesiot. Especially the ones who are Shomer Torah Mitzvot, for sure part of the Beit Knesset. But even one less so. Where is the best place to recruit followers? Where are you going to recruit followers? You go to the shul. That's you want to start a campaign, you start in the shul. Breakfast. Right? Breakfast club, that's right. The Kiddush club. You go to the KC, then they would still go to the Beit Knesset. People, Jews were still in the Beit Knesset. Kiddush clubs obviously weren't popular yet. They started later. Right? You go to the Beit Knesset. And there would be, not only that, there would be chazanim. They would try to make themselves leader positions in the synagogue. And from within, they try to entice the Jews to go off. See, it's one thing to have the binim, there's 24 groups on the outside. That's a battle, nunu. It's a battle we have to fight. But to have them within, you can't survive as a nation. So Rabban Gamliel established the beracha. against the Jewish Jewish. There wasn't Christianity yet, even, right? They weren't called Nozrim, right? Because that term became invented later, right? They weren't called Christians, but they were Jews who were followers of Yeshu. Right? Right? Like, kind of, yeah. But these Jews, the Jews for Jade know nothing about Judaism. These Jews were actually, right? And Rabban Gamliel says, that has to stop. So he established, we're going to establish Bikat HaMinim, and they're going to go up to the Pi Chazan, and they're going to have to say this Beracha. Because the halacha is, if you don't say this Beracha, you're thrown out of the synagogue. If you're not willing to say this Beracha, you're out. Machzirin until we force you to say it. Yeah. If you're not willing to say it, we knew you were a secret Christian, secret follower of Yeshu, and you were cut out. You were thrown out, you were expelled, you were put in cherem, and we knew you were out. And this is how we weaned out, with this Beracha, we weaned out all these Jewish followers of Yeshu.
But the one that didn't want to go to the word, but they didn't want to go being Chazanim.
But again, you're not going to say this tefillah, right? Yeah. You're not going to go to Bet Knesset and pray Laminim v'lamashlim al titikva and say amen to the barakah of the Chazan and curse yourself. You're not going to sit in the Bet Knesset as the Chazan is cursing you while you're sitting there. You're not sitting in the Bet Knesset. You know, that's how Rabban Gamliel, with his chokhmah, with his wisdom, weeded out these notzrim. Now you understand why we have 100 versions of this barakah. Why do we have 100 versions of Beracha? Already we have a tradition of Rav Huna, who was an Amora. So Rav Huna is the fourth generation of Amoraim, so he's around the year 400. So we're talking 300 years later, right? Rav Huna already abolished saying Laminim for a time period. Why? Because the Jews and the Christians, forget about it, the Christians were saying the Jews are cursing us in their Bet Knesset. Already, Eretz Yisrael was under the Roman Catholic Church, right? It was established in the year 330. Constantine the Great was in the year 330 or so. The Roman Catholic Church was already established in Israel. So Roman was Catholic, was Christian. So imagine, you're sitting in Bet Knesset and you're cursing the Christians next to you. So that didn't sit well with the people, right? So once they got word, that's how we're praying, and I'm sure we don't have to get into details who spread the word, right? So Rav Huna said, for the safety of the Jewish people, we're going to stop saying this blessing for a while. So for a time period, it was stopped. Then it was started again. And then it starts again. But then a different group gets upset. So we have to stop again. Or we have to change it. We have to change words. And this Beracha was censored every generation. So you noticed, in the Ashkenaz version, who was in Christian Europe, there's no mention of Minim. Because Amin would refer to who? They're the heretics. We're calling the Christians heretics. So there's no word minim in the Ashkenaz version. Ashkenaz version says, what is malshinim? Stinkers, right? Snitchers. So everybody believes, okay, you want to curse a snitcher? We all believe in cursing at the snitcher. That's fine. Risha, you want to curse evil? V'chola risha kerega toved. Evil should be wiped out. No, we're all okay wiping out evil. Christians go, V'chola yve amecha me'ikaretu, all the enemies of your nation. Okay, you don't want to have your enemies? Okay, that's generic enough. It doesn't have to mean us, right? The Azedim, those who do bad, evil things on purpose, should be destroyed. Baruch Ata Hashem, Shover Oyevim, who destroys enemies, who machni Azedim, and it's a very power of generic blessing. Christians are okay with it, right? And it was clearly censored, so the Christians will be okay with it. So we didn't want to uproot the Beracha completely, because it was established by the Sanhedrin, and we have to say it. But we couldn't keep it the way it was. We wanted our heads connected to our heads. Right? To our bodies. So we had no choice. So they censored it. It was censored. And even Abaracha censored. We have one extra word, Laminim. But the word was never Minim. Look at the Yemenite version. So I brought you Sidur Timani Kadum. Rav Yechia Bashiri, who was a great Yemenite rabbi in 1618. So this, something that's was going back 400 years. Right?
But there was already then people in Yemen?
Jews have been in Yemen since Bayit Rishon. Jews have been in Yemen for 2,500 years, and many of them never left. Yeah. Look at the Yemenite version of the Beracha. La meshumadim al tihi tikva. What's a meshumad? As a Jew who is meshumad, who shamad, who left the fold, who knows God and rebels him on purpose. He's shamed, right? That's meshumadim. Wow. The actual nusach was meshumadim. the Jews who are Meshumad, for them, Al Ti Tikva, they shouldn't have any continuation. They shouldn't continue. The Chol HaMinim HaMosrim, not Malshinim. Who is the Malshin? The Minim HaMosrim. These heretics who are Moser against us. Because the Jewish Christians, right, were instigating us against the Romans. In reality, Vespasian originally decided he's going to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Vespasian was going to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. In the year 115, 113, 115, he sent word to restart rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. And who convinced him not to?
Wasn't he from Iran?
Roman. Vespasian took over. Vespasian was sent his son Titus to conquer the Beit HaMikdash and destroy Yerushalayim. But he was later commissioned to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And they were masit against him. They badmouthed the Jews against him. You want to build this for the Jews? Who were the one among those who were masit? Was the Jewish Christians. Besides all the other groups, all the other kitot, right, who didn't have a use of Beit HaMikdash. The Shomronim have their temple in Har Gerizim, right? Everybody had their own excuses. Who needs a temple? And there were moser against Jews, against Jews. There was literally a civil war. So, Ava Mosrim, Aminim Mosrim, Kerega Yovedu. Umachut Zadon Ta'akor Vetishbor Vimenav Yamenu. And who is the Malchut Zadon here? It could be Rome, right? Baruch Ata Hashem, because it's Roman period. We're in Rome, right? Shover Oyevim Achnei Azirim. This is closer to the actual Beracha Yadem, because clearly the Beracha there was Meshumadim. Rav Amram Gaon. Who was Rav Amram? You have heard of Rav Amram Gaon? We heard of him? Rav Amram Gaon was the Gaon Bavil. The Jews were in Iraq, in Babylonia, right? Already Jews started living at Israel during even the second Beit HaMikdash, in the middle. And they were already in Bavil. Many came back, but many stayed in Babel. And obviously after the destruction, many Jews, more Jews went there. And after the Bar Kochav revolt, many Jews, more Jews went there. And there was another pogrom in the year 350 or so, and many more Jews went there. So the center of Judaism became where? Babel, Babylonia. Right? That's why Talmud Bavli is written in the year 500 in where? Babel. After the Gemara was closed, the Jews were all still in Babel. And they were led by the Geonim. Rav Amram Gaon lived in the 800s.
So,
Rav Sadia was also, but he was 150 years later. Yeah. Rav Amram Gaon lived in the 800s. Right, but for a second. Rav Amram Gaon lived in the 800s. We have a Sidur from Rav Amram Gaon. And his Sidur also says Elam Mishum Adim. Very similar to the Nusach of Teman.
No.
Not exact. The million everybody has variations, but similar to the Nusach of Teman. Because again, the Yemenite Jews were separate, and they were separate, and they didn't have any Christian influences for sure. And the Arabs came in later, and Arabs don't have a problem with cursing out Minim either, or Meshumadim, right? Because they only believe in one God, right? They also only believe in one God. So this is not a huge threat to the Arabs in general. That's why we can say in our Nusach we have Minim, because we were in Arab countries, right, in the last 500 years. So we have Minim. The Ashkenaz were in Europe, couldn't say the word minim. So they just only have la malshinim, and that's it. Mm. Right? But in Spain, which was Christian, right? Right? The Spanish Inquisition was at Christian Spain. And Castile and other cities, we see, we have decrees, we have records, decrees that the Christians yelled at us, and we have to stop saying this blessing because we're cursing them. And we had to stop saying it. What? That was afterwards, but even well, we were still allowed to have our own thing. But La Malshinim was in Castile and other cities where we had to stop saying it. Malshinim. Yeah, you had a question, Ruben, but then we want to finish.
It's a source that you probably most people know. Just echo what you said. Matthew 24, Jesus, he says specifically, Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple, and there will not even be one stone left. So it was basically Christian.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying
it's in their own book.
It's in their own books.
Yeah. Okay. But now we have to ask the question. So now we understand a little bit of Brikat HaMinim. Now when we say it tomorrow, we can have good kavanah. We know what we're saying. We know what it was about. Yeah. Now the question is like this: why Rabban Gamliel says, Rabban Gamliel stands up. Dr. Yarmish's question will take us to a different direction. But just Dr. Yarmish says, look at the words of the Gemara Berachot. What are the words Gemara Berachot says? The fourth source. Shimon HaPekoli Zir Yudchel Berachot Yifidah Ben Gamliel Al Aseret BeYavne. He organized the 18 blessings in order in Yavne. Amar Lahem Rabban Gamliel LeChachamim. Klum Yesh Adam. Is there nobody Sheyodeh Letaken Birkat HaTzedokim? There's nobody you can establish Birkat HaTzedokim. Why is it called Birkat HaTzedokim? So, that's a good question. And some Nusachs don't have this word Tzedokim. Some give out. But there's another tradition that the Birkat HaMinim wasn't really new. It was already established in the Hashmonaim period. Because the Hellenized Jews, most of the Jews also became Greek, became Hellenized. And they were Minim. And they were fighting with the Greeks against the Jews. Already then, mit Yavnim, right? Even then they were already called. And Al HaNisim prayer, what does it say? What does it use? They're already called Zedim. The language of this has Zedim in it. They were called Zedim, these Hellenized Jews. They were known Zedim, Biyad Oske Toratecha, right? So reality was, this bracha was written then. His question, according to this opinion, the question of Rabban Gamliel was not who can write the bracha from scratch, but who can what? Who can reestablish it for today's problem? Who can rewrite it to deal with today's issues, which were different then? We need to make strong words to exclude the Mishumadim of today, not the Minim of the Zedim of then. Right? That's one approach. But most hold that bracha was reestablished by what's called again, by Shmuel HaKatan, and it wasn't from the Hashmonaim, but again, there's differing opinions, we're not sure. Okay. Amad Shmuel HaKatan v'takna. Shmuel HaKatan got up and he established it. Why is there nobody else who can establish his beracha until Shmuel HaKatan says, I'll do it? So who is Shmuel HaKatan? So let's see if we can learn a little about Shmuel HaKatan. We have a few gemarot throughout about Shmuel HaKatan. So, the second to last source on the first page is the Toseftan Masechet Sota. Shuv pam achat hayoshvim beYavne. The sages were sitting in Yavne, right? That time period. Veshamu batkol, and they heard a heavenly voice. Now batkol is not prophecy. It's not nevuah. Nevuah already left the world 500 years ago. There's no more prophet. It's a batkol. It's a lower level of divine inspiration. A heavenly voice. Omeret, yesh kan adam shira'ui l'ruach ha-kodesh. There is a man amongst you who should have divine spirit, should have ruach ha-kodesh, should have nevuah. Ela she'en hador zakai. But the generation is not worthy of it. That's why he doesn't get it. Benatnu anehem b'shmuel ha-katan. And they all put their eyes on Shmuel ha-katan. They said it's him. Who is a man who ra'ui shetishadav shechina. Ruach HaKodesh. Beshad mitato. At the time of his death, ma hayu omrim? What were they saying? Aha, Anav, woe to us, we lost Anav. Why was he called Katan? Because he was the most humble person. Ha chasid, woe to us, we lost the chasid. Tamido shel Hillel hazaken. He was a tamid of Hillel. Which is, he also lived a very long life. Realize Hillel, he's in Yavne, right? Shmuel HaKatan is in Yavne. Hillel HaZaken lived when? HaZaken lived 100 years before the Churban. And Yavne is, so he's 120, 130 years old, but he dies here. At least. Na'av hu omer b'shab mitato, and he said a nevuah at his deathbed. Even though Nebuah left the world, and he wasn't, because of the generation, he wasn't worthy to be a Navi, because the generation wasn't ready for it, which means Nebuah left the world. But out of his deathbed, to show who he was, he did prophesize. And unfortunately, his prophecy wasn't a beautiful one. Shimon ve Yishmael ktala. Shimon and Yishmael are going to be killed. Who is that? Yishmael Kohen Gadol, who was one of the Asarah Rugel Malchut, the 10 martyrs that were killed by the Romans. Shimon, there's two opinions who was referring to. Either Shimon Ben Gamliel, who was also one of the 10 Arugah Machut, or some hold is Shimon Bar Kochva. He was referring to Bar Kochva himself, who was named Shimon, who was a real leader of the revolt, who they thought was Mashiach, and ultimately he fell and was killed. Shimon ve'Ishmael ektala. Veshar chavruhi lecharba, and all other friends are going to be killed. Veshar amal leviza, and the rest of the nation will be plundered and sold into slavery. That was Shmuel HaKatan's prophecy. He was mitnaveh to the what's going to happen to the Jews in Bar Kochva, 20 years later.
It happened 20 years later.
20 years after, yeah. Oh, and just to give you an idea, who else? Another story about Shmuel HaKatan.
So that was about the year 110.
No, in Yavne. Yavne, they were already in Yavne after the Churban. From the year 70 to the year approximately, till the Bar Kochva revolt, they were in Yavne. So 70 to about 130, they were in Yavne. So Rabban Gamliel, he was obviously in the time of Rabban Gamliel.
Years early, so that was in year 135. So
it couldn't have been 135, because he was probably died around the same time as Rabban Gamliel died. So around the year 115, 117. So this was before, yeah? Maaseh Rabban Gamliel Shamar. There was a story of Ben Gamliel who said, let 7 people come with me to the attic. Why to the attic? So remember we said 2 weeks ago, they were being persecuted, the Jews, by the Romans. So whenever the Sanhedrin met together, they met in secret. Where were they meeting? In attics. So you find throughout the Gemara, there were meeting places in the attic of so-and-so, in the attic of so-and-so. They have a whole group of takanot that they made in this guy's attic, and this guy's attic, because they were in hiding. And Jews weren't allowed to gather and meet and learn and study and make Sanhedrin function, right? So he invited 7 to decide if we're going to make a leap year. Remember, leap years weren't set. The Bedin would decide, based on calculations, do we make a leap year, make 2 Adars or not? Right? He gets up to the attic. He invites 7 people. Lo and behold, how many are there? Oh. We have 8. One guy was a chutzpah, a chutzpan. And he joined the group. Amar mihu she'ala shelo b'reshut. Who went up without permission? Yered. Let him go down. Amar Shmuel HaKatan d'amar. Shmuel HaKatan gets up and says, ani hu shalita shelo b'reshut. It was me. Now, obviously, it wasn't Shmuel HaKatan, right? But he says it was me. V'lo laber asher aliti, I apologize. I didn't come to join you in making the calculations for the leap year. Ela ללמוד הלכה למעשה וצלחתי. I wanted to learn הלכה למעשה, how to do it. I wanted to learn from you how to do it. אמר לו שב בני שב. רמן גבריאל says, sit down, my son, sit down. ראויות כל השנים כולן יתאבר על ידיך. All the leap year should be made by you and you alone. We don't need the rest of us, right? אלא אמרו חכמים, but the halacha is, you can only marry by those who were mizuman, those who were designated to marry shana. And we can't have anybody here who is not designated. But lo Shmuel HaKatan, and it wasn't Shmuel HaKatan, ela ini shacharina, u'machma kisufa hu da'avat. It was somebody else, but not to embarrass that other person. He embarrassed himself. That's why, again, he's known as Shmuel HaKatan. He was a great anav. So, to give one answer, why is it that Shmuel HaKatan is one who's the only one who can establish the barachah l'manayim l'manayim? Because if you think about it, all the barachot were established by who? Anshe, Knesset HaGdola, were Nevi'im. They did it with Nevuah. Who can today, who can in the time of Rabban Gamliel get up and say, I'm going to establish a new barachah? Only Shmuel HaKatan, who ra'ui shetishra alav shechina, only he can establish it. So Shmuel HaKatan gets up and he says, it's me. Rav Kook has another beautiful idea. Why is only Shmuel HaKatan? Now, we have almost no teachings from Shmuel HaKatan. But we have one famous teaching in Avot from Shmuel HaKatan. This is Masechet Avot, Perek Dalet. Shmuel HaKatan Omer, Bin Pol Oyevecha Al Tismach. When your enemies fall, do not rejoice. When you nechshal, when they stumble. Al yagel libecha. Right? Don't let your heart, rejoice. Pen yireh Hashem. Because Hashem, lest Hashem see. Ve'ra be'enav. And it's going to be evil in the eyes of Hashem. Ve'heshiv ma'alav apo. And Hashem is going to turn his anger from him unto you. So Shmuel Katan always taught, when your enemy falls, don't rejoice. Right? When somebody, your enemy stumbles. Al yagel libecha. It's not a time to be happy. Because you never know, Hashem can easily turn from him to you. That was Shmuel Katan's teaching. Now, Rav Kook says something fascinating. He says, we want to establish a beracha to curse fellow Jews. Yes, the followers of Yeshu. The followers of Yeshu. But you're asking to curse fellow Jews. If I'm establishing a beracha to curse fellow Jews, I have to make sure that you bear zero hatred for another Jew. Because if you hate any of those Jews, then the beracha is tainted. It's not because they're meshumadim, or you're trying to Lashem Shemaim to save you, because in the recess of your subconscious, is one of the guys, you don't like the group, right? You don't like them. So only Shmuel Katan, who loved every single individual, who was Anav Mikol Adam, and only Shmuel Katan, who lived this idea, Bin Pol Oyevecha Al Tismach, even when our enemies fall, I will not be happy. Only you can make that bracha, nobody else. So only Shmuel HaKatan was able to establish Berachad HaManim HaMal Shinim, because we guaranteed Bin Polo Yevecha, when his enemies, these Jews, fall, Al Tismach, he's not going to rejoice. So only him, we knew the Berachah was pure, if it was written by him, and therefore Shmuel HaKatan was the one who was designated to write this Berachah.
We got notified by Bat Kol.
Who he was, yeah. So this is the story of the bracha of Lamanim and Amal Shinim. Just a little synopsis. There's a lot more Torah on this because it's a vast subject. But at least when we say the bracha now every day, we'll recognize that. Unfortunately, we don't have
somebody to change it.
We don't have the right nusach. We know that. But whatever nusach we have is the zecher for the bracha that was established by Rabban Gamliel and his bedin to save us from all those who were standing against us and trying to really destroy Yahadut from within. But the lesson of history is, but one thing is powerful, and it's a powerful lesson for us. There were 24 kitot of minim, 24 groups of Jews practicing different things, each one with their own sects, and believe me, many were more religious than us, more religious than Rabban Gamliel, the Kat of Qumran, the mikvaot everywhere. They live with tovel 4 or 5 times a day. Because you came in contact with somebody who came in contact with somebody, they touched anything, they would go to the mikveh. Literally. They were constantly going, they were very aesthetic, there were no women in the group, they were celibate, they were, you know, kedoshim. That was that group. Each group had their own, you know, they were religious Jews, but a very different form of religion than what was taught al pi mesorah. But what happened to all these groups? There is no remez, there is no shemez, there's no memory of these people. Well, we have caves in Eretz Yisrael and some scrolls that remind us who they were. They're gone. The only cut that remained was the Rabban Gamliel, Yavne v'Chachameya, that started 200 years ago. That's a new cut, right? But the cut from them that remained is only us. And the answer is, emet is emet. And Sheker has no feet to stand on. And eventually it's going to implode on itself and collapse. And that's the lessons of history. You have to stick to Amit. You have to stick to truth. Hold on to it. And you live your life how you're supposed to live it. And
are the Shomronim are the same?
Shomronim was a different cut.
But the same.
They are descendants. The Karait and Shomronim. This is what? 20 families of Shomronim in Eretz Yisrael. Or whatever it is, a few hundred families of Shomronim, and there's a few Karaites here and there scattered throughout the world. But that's basically what's left.
Now, I meant to say that
in our days,
yeah.
Who you can make a covenant on? And before you answer, I'll continue with a small remark. A few minutes before the class, I just saw and
I'm gonna stop it.